to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. We want to continue in the Bible study today concerning the difference in the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. Keeping in mind as we study these things now that in the scripture, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said to Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, there's every implication then that there is a difference there in the resurrection of Christ, in other words, in the presentation of the resurrection of Christ, when Paul preached it, as in by which Peter preached, and certainly there is. For in Acts chapter 2, Peter expresses the fact that David foresaw the Lord always, and so forth and so on. He said, my flesh is rest in hope, because thou wilt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. And he said that he, seeing the resurrection of the Lord, said that God raised him up to sit on his throne. Well, we know then that Peter in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and whatever, in those chapters back there, that the preaching has to do with Jesus Christ being raised from the dead to sit on the throne of David. This having to do with the kingdom. The kingdom is going to come now, is the idea. Now, they have thought about preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there is absolutely no way that anyone could prove that when they were sent out in Mark 16, Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, but he that believeth not should be damned. Nobody could prove that Jesus Christ was referring to any other gospel than that gospel which they already had. So I'm saying that Peter in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and on is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul is not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul is preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And as such, he's referring to the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose, that he rose again. And I'm saying unto you now that God cannot be gracious unto you without your faith in Jesus Christ having died for you, buried, and risen again, and that the rapture of the church is included in that good news. It is a part of that hope. In other words, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Well, Peter does not see that at all in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. Peter sees that by wicked hands Israel took and crucified the Son of God, but God raised him up. And he's saying unto them, if you will repent and be baptized, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promises unto you, and on, and the point being that Christ would return, sit on the throne, reign over the house of Jacob forever, as is prophesied in the scripture. Now, notice some things about this. For instance, look at Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew 21, verse 33, he said, here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and picked the wine press in it and built a tower, let it out unto husbandmen, and led into a fair country. Now, the Bible-believing person, the one that studies the Bible, will not miss the fact that this is a repeat of that which is in Isaiah chapter 5. And I would advise you to check out Isaiah chapter 5, and you'll find there that the householder is God, and that the vine, that the vineyard is Israel, and the choice vine is Judah. Now, in verse 34, when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took his servants and beat one. You'll find it in 1 Kings 22, verse 24. Killed another. Jeremiah 26, 23, possibly. Stoned another. Possibly 2 Chronicles 24, 21. Again, he sent out his servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. The last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. There is no way to get around the fact that the context has to do with the Son of Almighty God. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact of the business, all of this has come about because that Jesus has gone into the temple and run them out of there, cleaned out the temple of God, and that whether or not as he returns, they came to him and they asked him, by what authority did he do all these things? What right did he have to do these things? And so then he begins to lead up unto this parable that he's giving them. All right, so the son of the husbandman, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 38, but when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. inheritance. Well, then the inheritance is the inheritance of the seed. Now, God Almighty told Abraham, I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee this land as an inheritance forever. Now, that is absolutely unmistakable. And it is clear in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, that that seed is Christ. Then the Lord Jesus Christ is heir to the inheritance that was given to Abraham. Excuse me. The property, the land, belongs to the Lord. All right. Verse 39, they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, probably doing it to his husbandman. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will add out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now today I want you to consider with me this stone. Notice the stone is referred to in verse 42. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And in verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. Now go back in your Bible, please, to Daniel, and look at Daniel chapter 2. Now in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed a dream. He cannot remember what his dream is. And so finally Daniel comes into him, and Daniel tells him what the dream is. And he said, thou sawest, and this great image, and it had a head of gold, it had a chest of silver, a belly of brass, thighs and legs of iron mixed with miry clay. And he said, thou saw that a stone fell upon the feet of this image and ground it all to powder. Now, noticing verse 34, thou sawest that a stone was cut out of thy hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the shape of the thump, summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. Notice down in verse 41, thou sawest the feet and toes part of polished clay and part of iron, the kingdom should be divided. There should be in it of the strength of iron, or as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with mire clay. As the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom should be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with mire clay, they, the toes, they, shall mingle themselves of the seed of men, but they shall not cling one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, living the kings of verse 44, are the toes of verse 42. In other words, the toes on this great image then represents 10 kings in the last days. Verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left for other people. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain of thy hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king, watching the past hereafter, and on. Well, the stone then represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The image represents the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles began when Nebuchadnezzar took over the world and ruled the world. scarcely leaven. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words, which the horn, this horn here is in verse 8, that has a mouth speaking great things, must be the Antichrist, must be the beast, the man of sin, and the son of perdition. Alright, the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. I guess probably Revelation chapter 18, or Revelation chapter 19, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. Verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, but yet their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, they brought him near before him, that was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, his kingdom, that which will not be destroyed. There is probably two parts to the second coming of Christ there. That part when he comes as the stone that crushes the kingdoms of this world, and the other part when he comes, the Son of Man comes with the clouds of heaven, and there's given him a kingdom and dominion, and he reigns forever and ever. But that's not here nor there. The point being that the stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. That stone is referred to as a stone cut out with our hands. It falls upon the feet of the image. It grinds the kingdoms of this world to powder and destroys them and carries them away so that there's no place found for them and so forth and so on. Now, notice back in your Bible, please, to Genesis, and look in Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28. All right, in Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he hid upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was setting. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, of thy father, the God of Isaac. The land were on thy lives, to thee will I give it unto thy seed, and thy seed shall be the dust of the earth. And on and on. Now, notice that in verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is not other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Come down to verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now notice, this stone shall be God's house. We've already referred to the fact that the stone refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice again, John, and look in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, and the coming of the Lord at his first coming. Notice in verse 13, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers who lay sitting. Then he made a scourge, a small cord, and drove them all out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money over to the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Verse 18, then asked the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, but thou art in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body. Well, then I can compare Christ's words in John chapter 2 with that which Jacob prophesied and God saw fit to put it down in ladders set up, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladders. Well, in John chapter 1, Nathanael comes to the Lord, and he believes in the Lord. And in verse 50 in John 1, Jesus had some said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana. For the days there represent 1,000 years. Peter said, the name of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And you'll notice that the first day, the second day, and the third day. The third day representing the millennial reign of Christ and the marriage in Cana of Galilee and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man matches the prophecy of Jacob in Genesis 28 when Jacob sees while his head is on a stone that the stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it refers to the house of God. It refers to the kingdom being set up and a mountain called the mountain of God. And he sees the ladders and the angels of God ascending and descending. There is a coming kingdom, and that kingdom is called the kingdom of God. Now look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel 17, David goes forth to fight against Goliath. Anybody that believes this Bible and studies this Bible and compares Scripture with Scripture cannot help but see that this represents the coming of the Lord, and Goliath represents the problem at that time. He represents the enemy at that time, the times of the Gentiles, the great Gentile empire at that time. Little bitty David here, people say, and he's not all that little, he's called a man of war, as Jesus is called a man of war. But David goes to fight the giant. Now look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a golden helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and his safety gold, for it is not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I am not proved them. And David took them off him. In other words, Jesus Christ is not going to fight the armies of the Antichrist with the mechanized material things of this world. At the second coming of Christ, he's going to fight with the power of God and whatever. Verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a script, like you and said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and do not miss that. When Jesus Christ comes again, he's coming to sit upon the throne of David. David is the king of Israel. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the king of Israel, and he shall reign over the house of Israel forever. Therefore, he is coming to represent Israel, and to represent Israel, who has a God, and their God is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And therefore, at his coming again, after he sits upon that throne, then the message of salvation is going out to all the world, Great Commission, if you please, and the world is going to come to realize there is a God in Israel, and they won't be able to get to that God without coming to that God through the nation Israel. Not so in 1983. You come to God today through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, not through Israel. The Bible says that through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. You can get to God today without Israel and in spite of Israel. But in the millennial reign of Christ, nobody comes to God except through Israel, and make no mistake about that. In verse 47, And all this assembly shall know that the God saveth not with sword and spear, for the Bible is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran before the army to meet the Philistine, just like you'll find it in Revelation chapter 19, coming on that white horse and coming to where they are gathered together there, and he comes unto them and destroys them. Verse 49, And David put his hand in his bag and took out thence a stone. The stone represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the slaying of the stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, and so forth, and so on. There is no doubt about the stone. The stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Psalm 118. In Psalm 118, and notice verse 20. Psalm 118, verse 20. Verse 22. He says, The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And you will notice that this is repeated where we read in Matthew 21:22, and God wanted to be sure that you make no mistake about it, and so he caused Mark to refer to it in Mark 12:10, Luke refers to it in Luke 20, verse 17 through 18, and Peter repeats it in his message in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, and then writes it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. There is no doubt about this stone. But look at Isaiah, and look at Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 8. In Isaiah 8, verse 14. Isaiah 8, I'm sorry, make it verse 13. Isaiah 8, 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble, which they did at his first coming, and fall, and they did, and through the fall of Israel, salvation has come to the Gentiles, and be broken, and they are, and be snared, and be taken, and they were. In A.D. 70, they were carried captive among the nations, where they will return until the regathering through the ministry of the Lord. And then after this regathering, the Lord shall come and reign over the house of Jacob. Look in Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah 28, verse servant. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stone, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. Now there is no doubt about who he's writing to. He's writing to a nation called a new nation in Isaiah. It is the nation of Israel. And just as, say back here, that this line here and this line here represents the nations of the Gentiles back there in the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus, God Almighty saved out of the Gentiles a nation of believers. And we'll say these two lines represent a nation of believers. That is called the nation of Israel. And Moses has said unto these people off of Mount Sinai, God said, Moses, go tell my people, tell Israel, if you obey my commandments and keep my covenants, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people there. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. There is no doubt then that God Almighty saved out of the Gentile world a peculiar nation unto himself, which we call the Jews. But these Jews turned into apostasy, as in Deuteronomy chapter 32. John the Baptist came unto these people here, and John the Baptist came to repent. He preached and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, that prophesied kingdom that God Almighty told you about Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, as in Exodus 19, a royal priesthood, as in Exodus 19, a holy nation, as in Exodus 19, a peculiar people, as in Exodus 19, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past, as in Exodus 19, were not a people, but are now the people of God, as in Exodus, which had not obtained mercy, they had been under bondage to the Egyptians, as these have been under bondage to a religious system. And on and on, there is no doubt about it. It is unmistakable. And anybody that believes the King James Bible and believes the King James Bible by the comparing scripture with scripture can't miss the fact that a new nation is saved over here and called out from that old apostate nation of Israel, and that this new nation are a holy nation and heavenly people, and they are going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to reign again. Now, this stone, then, that is cut out with our hands, this stone didn't fall upon the kingdoms of this world at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is obvious. Why, the Bible said that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Notice how God worked all this out. For instance, back here, He sends John the Baptist. Over here, He will send Elijah before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Between this nation here in the book of Acts and the second coming of Christ over here is the dispensation of the grace of God. Now notice, John the Baptist back here is referred to as Elijah that was for to come. But Elijah still must come, Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 17. He said Elijah has come already, and they knew it not, but they did unto them him that which they wanted to do, and so forth. And the Bible said they realized that He spake unto them of John the Baptist. He said in Matthew chapter 10, or 11 rather, that if you would receive the kingdom, John is Elijah, which is for to come. But He said in Matthew 17, Elijah truly shall first come. Now, at the coming of John the Baptist back here, God is not going to set up the kingdom. God, Jesus, he is not our king. No matter what Pilate does, he cannot change anything there. Why? God has already determined that his son is going to die on Calvary. It is already prepared. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is that sacrifice that God is about to sacrifice for your sins. And so Pilate cannot change this. There isn't anything that Pilate is going to do to change these people out there. Why? God has blinded these people so that they will reject Jesus Christ. So that in the rejection of Jesus Christ, Christ will die upon Calvary. So that by his death on Calvary, not only can those that God had blinded be saved in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but also so that through the ministry of Paul, whom he had called from his mother's womb to testify Christ, so that through his ministry and through the gospel of the grace of God, God could save the church, which is the body of Christ. Now that is very clear to a Bible believer. There are a bunch of people going around talking about Bible believers. Bible believers this, Bible believers that. Well, a Bible believer believes that God Almighty chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that God provided a sacrifice for us so that he could save us. For without that sacrifice, there could be no salvation. Therefore, you'll remember that Jesus never does say that John the Baptist is Elijah. John the Baptist said that John would have been Elijah if they would have received the kingdom. But they were not going to receive the kingdom, for God blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Why? So that through the death of Christ on Calvary, God can save the church, which is the body of Christ. Therefore, after the church, which is the body of Christ, is saved, rapture is salvation. Our body is changed, and the latter is glorious body. After our salvation, then Elijah shall come, and Elijah shall preach to them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. The kingdom shall be established, the stone cut out without hands shall fall upon the feet of the image, which is the Gentile powers of this world, and grind them to powder, and that stone shall become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. The kingdom shall be established. People are always trying to point out that a kingdom came in Acts chapter 2. I have never seen anybody yet that was able to prove that any kingdom came into this world in Acts chapter 2. And don't talk to me about the kingdom of God coming. If you believe this Bible, and don't tell people that you're a Bible believer unless you do believe it, you'll find in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 and numerous other places, there is a reference to God setting up his kingdom. If God sets up his kingdom, then it is the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God wasn't set up in Acts chapter 2. No way was it. In fact, when the kingdom of God is established, there will be Gentile dominion over Israel at that time, with 10 kings sitting upon a throne, and the Antichrist reigning over these kings, and when the Lord comes, he will destroy those 10 kings and set up that kingdom of God upon this earth at that time. And as if that wasn't enough, Jesus tells them in Luke chapter 19, they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he spoke a parable unto them because they believed that he should, and said that a king went forth to receive for himself a kingdom. All right, he went into a land to receive a kingdom and to return. And he called his servants and